lovely crowd. You may be seated. We love you. I love you. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're getting closer and closer, brethren, to this date when we're going to be with Yahshua. You know that Knesset, you know, it's built on the mound, they call it the mound of the evil decision. Very place where Yahshua was condemned, and that's where we took him live a few years ago. I hate to read these, but I'll just highlight them for you to show you how the world is going down. Of course, this is the 10 most popular stories in 2009. We were number 9 of the 10. Praise Yahweh. I thought that was great. Number nine. They said when they were announcing this, two people told me this. I don't know if you saw it or not, but two people told me that the news announcer said, as they showed me walking out of the courthouse in a black suit and carrying a folder in my hand, the news announcer says, "I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of this man." He's bringing forth the man too. Didn't know it. It shows the prions and how they spread. This is a new scientific study that they're seeing now, how the prions, how they actually got started in the first place by feeding sick cattle, but then feeding that sick animal to another sick animal, which it took a lot of work to get this done to create this prion, because it didn't just take place on the first event, but somewhere along the thousands of cattle that were fed sick cattle, those cattle died, and then they were fed back again to other sick cattle. And this is what created the prion that is killing so many people today. STDs, common among teenagers, 14 to 17, spreading. Subsequent sexually transmitted infections, not necessarily the same type, were diagnosed within 2 years after an initial sexually transmitted infection in about 75% of the girls. 75%. Wow. I read somewhere where it said if you had 10 people in a room with chlamydia, I believe that only two out of the 10 would actually show it. The others wouldn't even know they have it. But of course they would later, of course, because they would discover that it opens the door to cause other infections, which is killing a lot of people right now, hundreds of thousands. Now, this right here, it's teachers. Their hands are tied. They can't correct the students. Students are getting out of hand, and the teachers are quitting by the thousands. Just over 404,000 fully trained teachers quit this year. And they're trying to figure out now, you know, we got a problem here, they said. The teachers are being threatened. They're being beat up on, in the schools, themselves. Now, this is how bad it's getting. By the students in their class, they're being insulted. They even ripped their clothes off of them in some incidents. It's really bad. And of course the senators and congressmen, you know, they go to them for help. Well, they don't know what to do. They're wringing their hands, you know, trying to figure out what to do, or what have we done to cause such an evil thing to take place? We have the answer, and it's not an overnight thing, but you know, the peaceful solution that our children are both studying and teaching now. I don't know if you know that or not, but they are. They're actually studying the peaceful solution, and they're teaching it sometimes to their parents, but especially to each other, and I'm threatening to put them on television and let them start teaching it there. Yeah. I'll vote for that 100%. But you know, they're scrambling, and it's more like grabbing at straws to try to keep our schools from going under. They don't know what to do. They're trying to pass some new laws now, as if we didn't have enough already, you know. Kind of like, well, we'll throw them in jail if they do that. Well, I thought you could throw them in jail already if they did that. What do you mean? Well, let's double it a little. Double the sentence or something. Maybe that'll put a stop to it. They just don't know what to do. It looks like they would wake up and realize that we're going to have to stop and start over again. That's the only way to do it. And of course, the world leaders right now, they're scrambling to try to prevent nuclear war, or to, as they say, when it comes, try to be come out on top some way. Each nation is trying to get prepared to come out on top, while they're talking about doing away with nuclear bombs, of course. And while they're talking, they're also building stronger and more powerful and longer range missiles to carry them. But that's the confusion, see, that we see in today's world, that Yahweh said would be here at this time. Babylon is falling, as the great Kohan Shaul just brought out. It's falling. And Yahweh, of course, as I've been showing you now, he knows exactly what's taking place, and he's allowing this to take place to show what sin brings. He's also bringing about his house to show what his form of slavery brings, his servants, what a wonderful blessing that would be right now if we had it throughout the world. But we don't see this. We see rulership and browbeating and so forth throughout the world. Oppression, as I brought out last week, the same thing that was taking place in Egypt. Not only the AIDS, we got leprosy that was supposed to have been wiped out, you know, thousands of years ago. It's on the comeback. So is tuberculosis. I would this somewhere storing garlic because it's the prices are soaring because of somebody making the statement, a very popular person making the statement that they weren't taking the shots, they were taking garlic and onions. Something else that I was trying to get people to eat this year, I would like for us to get back to organic foods. I used to go out in the garden when I was a child, and I would start pulling vegetables out of the ground and picking beans off of the stalk and eating them, and pulling corn off of the stalk and eating it, shucking it and brushing the worms aside, of course. And no, they're not unclean. There's nothing unclean about them. They're eating the same corn you are. And the insects that's on these things, they don't make your corn, your vegetable unclean, but I know people see it and they say, ooh, and they go to the grocery store and buy something that's got poison all over it, you know, to try to kill the insects. It's there to protect the very vegetables that, you know, that they are, as one of our students said. I was so joyous when I saw one of our young priests bringing this out earlier, you know, and showing how, you're insulting Yahweh when you do that. But anyway, we had an abundance of turnips this year. I want to read you this. The H1N1 swine flu continues to worry China's leaders, who are rolling out a nationwide vaccine program. See, they've turned from one thing to another here. Its people seek a more traditional remedy, just as some Chinese turn to turnips to prevent the SARS virus. Yes, turnips will actually prevent the SARS virus. In 2003, garlic has emerged as a swine flu fighter in 2009. If we could go the routes of that Yahweh gives us to go by, follow his advice, he'll take sickness away from us. Praise Yahweh. Now, last week, we were talking about, of course, Yahweh's taking this family, the 12 tribes, and of course, out of this gobbled up 12 tribes in the end time now, we have a huge mixture taking place that is taking place here. But he's proven from Scripture, and he had to prove this. In this sermon, I hope I can make you understand how Yahshua has been on trial in heaven for quite a time, since he's been there, in fact. And he's been on trial, and he's been doing a work. And, of course, he's been suffering slandery and accusations and so forth. Now, all of this is shown in your Scriptures. Up until this time, a time period that the great Kohan Shaul brought out, a time period when something else would start taking place. Well, of course, in this time period where he is suffering all these accusations and defending himself and the Malachim that work with him, they're fighting to defend him. And all of this is going on in the heaven. You know, this is some of the deeper things that we'll get into later in this series of the kings of the east, the leaders of the kings of the east, or the ways of the kings of the east. But we've been on trial there too. We've been on trial here on earth to prove ourselves in heaven. And of course, it's come through. And Yahweh shows how it has come through. And that was just part of the stuff that Shaul brought out a little bit ago. Doors have been opened, and of course the work that was promised in the beginning. Now, if you'll turn over to Genesis, because that's the beginning of Yahweh's work and his plan, the beginning of his plan, and there's so many prophecies here in the book of Genesis, you'd never know it by just reading, and of course that's what the world does. They just read the story, and then we have the critics who say, oh, that's falsehood. It's two different stories there, and they contradict themselves because they don't understand the Scriptures. They don't understand, you know, how that Yahweh is bringing forth his plan along with the tree of righteousness and evil, and he's showing both sides of it here. So they get mixed up, and they say, well, there's two different forms of the creation. But there's not. It's all perfect, absolutely perfect. And the prophecies in it, most of them have come to pass, but there's still some yet to go that was actually prophesied in the book of Genesis. Dan, if you remember, I brought this out years ago. I don't know if you remember it or not. About he'd be overcome by a troop and. And, of course, that was talking about the demonic world. And he would be overcome by this troop. But in the last days now, he is being part of the house of Yahweh, this tribe, being his seed, of course. Not he, but his seed down through the century mixed in and so forth with the other would overcome. That speaking of a time period when speaking of the house of Yahweh that would be established under Yahshua being the high priest, and then certain anointed that would come forth and bring Yahweh's work, be inspired to bring Yahweh's work and teachings in these last days. But here in Genesis, we see, first off, I want you to remember, we got up to the point of Yahweh making man subject to vanity, enmity, not subject to the law of Yahweh, but making us subject to vanity, and then saying, overcome it. You know, I'm telling you, yes, you're going to be tempted. You're going to want to hold on to your stupidity and not let go. You want to go on holding on to your stubbornness. You know, this is things that's in your mind. Oh, I hate to let go of this. I love it so much, you know, to be stubborn and rebellious. But it's cutting your throat to spite your belly, of course, as I was told several times when I was a child. Two wrongs don't make a right. You better submit as the Savior said. And your rest will be beautiful, as I'm saying. Well, in this enmity, this that Yahweh has formed man to be, against the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh said in the end now, at this end time, they will also, the group that is bitterness and is filled with bitterness and hatred, will eventually turn to Satan and try to persecute Yahweh's house, which they're doing already. You remember this is shown in Revelations. Well, it was shown also in Genesis, but it's shown in Revelations too, that Satan actually uses those who become bitter he uses them to fight against Yahweh's work. And they will make war with the Lamb, Yahweh says. This is given to us in Revelations. It's given to us here in Genesis 2, but it's given to us in Revelations also. They will make war with the Lamb. Well, of course, they've been making war with the Lamb. The Lamb is doing a work here on earth right now, and he's going to bring the work through because Yahweh has prophesied that he would. The Lamb will overcome. Well, he's talking about his house, of course. Yahshua is sitting in heaven at the right hand of Yahweh, and he's already overcome Satan at this time. She's been cast down, so the accuser of our brothers has been cast down, which means some have made it and got their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Others are still hanging on to their stubbornness and won't submit themselves as a child and start getting back in contact with Yahweh, but of course everyone's got to make up his mind which one he loves the best, whether it's burning in hell or life with us in the kingdom. But I'll do my best to help. I don't know what more I can do, but if there's anything I can do to help you to get over it, then call me and let me know. But here in Genesis now, we're promised here in this 6,000-year makeup now that Yahweh is making us in his image. He's going to. Now, this is verse 26. He's making us in his likeness and his image. Well, it's necessary in doing this to bring him through a trial period, bring us through this trial period. And let's go back over to Mark, be turning over to Mark. Well, let's go to Revelations first, Revelations 3. But this trial period that we're going through right here in our lifetime, it's been with every person. If you remember when he brought the 12 tribes out of Egypt, Moshe said, now don't worry, Yahweh is here to test you, to see whether you will keep his laws or not. And then the first thing they did was they started breaking Yahweh's Sabbath. And of course, they later on, they made it impossible for anyone to keep. This was the priest, as you know, the Talmud and so forth. But all of these were trials for Yahweh's people. He always had his work going on at Abel. And you're going to be greatly surprised here in Revelations when we get to this part, because this is where it all ends at Abel. It's finished. Now, it doesn't come to an end. Man's government's come to an end. But Yahweh's work is finished right here at Abel. That's the finishing place that Yahweh has prophesied. But here now in chapter 3 of Revelations, in verse 12, we see here that verse 11, "And behold, I come quickly," he says, "and he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of Yahweh, in the house of my Father, he who overcomes." Now, it doesn't say he who hangs on to your stupidity, your ignorance, your rebellion, making it impossible for the priest to help you. That is not overcoming. Overcoming is the words of the Savior. Humble yourself as a little child. Become a slave in the house of Yahweh, as I am right now. I would shine your shoes. I'd lick your feet if I thought it would help you. I'll do anything I possibly can. I'm doing everything that I know how to do. But he says, he that overcomes, that's the overcoming part that we will get back more on later. And then the next thing is enduring, of course. That's the trial that he puts everyone through, and you can read about those trials if you just study the scriptures from one end to the other. You'll see the first one, the first righteous priest, he suffered greatly at the hands of this beastly system, which Cain had going in his time. And, of course, Abel had a tremendous work going in Abel, the city of Abel that is still in existence and still now we're making them active again in that area, that territory there. And that was all opened up after, of course, Satan was cast down and the doors opened for the house of Yahweh. And during the persecution and the fights that was going on, we never stopped the work. There was no way that I'm ever going to stop this work, you know, the persecution or not, praise Yahweh. The work kept going. And I kept praying that Yahweh would protect and guide. I said, I can't fight Satan. I don't have the power, so I'm not even going to try. And if you let the work go down, it's your fault, not mine. I'm just going to keep writing and keep teaching the people. Keep teaching your people. Mark the 4th chapter. And Mark 4. And let's go to verse 17. He says, now here he's talking about, and he gives this beautiful parable about three out of four will fall away because they have no root in themselves. And of course, if you think now back how you do this, you know, Yahweh first says, go to the place that I choose to place my name. Then he tells you it's found in prophecy. And if it's not according to prophecy, then there's no light in them. So don't go to those places. It's not found in prophecy. And there's only one place, as Yahshua said, and it's a narrow gate going through it. And you go to the house of Yahweh. That's the first thing you have to do. Then you do what the priest says. And Yahshua says, humble yourself as a little child now, or you won't get through this path. And then you do what the priest says, and they will lead you through that to perfection. Well, in Mark 4, in verse 17, he says, but have no root in themselves. Well, he's talking about the ones that Satan, if you look back to verse 15, once they go to the house and they start learning the ways of Yahweh, then Satan interferes with them in one way or another. Then verse 17, those that have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. And as the apostles, they added to this, the prophets did too, and they said, don't let a root of bitterness come up in you, because don't hang on to it, because it will keep growing and festering, and then eventually it will take over your mind, and you will allow Satan to lead you right out of the house, or Yahweh will have to discard you from his house. afterwards when affliction or persecution arises because of the laws and the prophets, because of the laws and the prophets. You know, everyone is preaching, every preacher that I've ever heard, I think, they preached about the two witnesses. Well, now that the two witnesses has come and the prophecy is fulfilled, they won't accept it. Before Yeshua came, everybody was looking for the Savior because he was prophesied. But when he came, they didn't believe it. Same way about the two witnesses. Once they came, no, they don't believe it. Oh, it's all just a coincidence. There's a lot of coincidences about the two witnesses, I'll tell you, if that's what it is. So immediately they are offended, notice, they start falling away, so they don't endure. And this is one of the toughest things. Be turning over to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. It's the hardest thing. It's easy to come to the house, but it's the hardest thing to try to stay in the house. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves boast about you among the called out ones of Yahweh on behalf of your patience and your faith in all of your persecutions. Notice they suffered it too. They suffered persecution. If you remember, at this time when this was written, now this was about 52 A.D., about 18 years before the temple was destroyed. And of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were on a roll, and they were trying to destroy everyone who wanted to use the name Yahweh and wanted to keep the laws. And they had the Talmud out at that time and telling everyone, don't use the name. But there were people all over Israel by abundance that was using the name. They were also wanting to keep the feast. Well, they didn't want to keep the feast anymore either. And they didn't want to celebrate the new moons. They didn't want to celebrate the Sabbath. And of course, they made it impossible for anyone to keep the Sabbath because they were teaching. This was after now they came back from Babylon. And remember, they were taken to Babylon. They would first be arrested for witchcraft or whatever they wanted to charge them with. And after they had a few hundred or thousand or so forth in captivity, then they would take them to Babylon and they would put them under what they called rabbis or lords. That's what they were known as at that time. This was before they started calling themselves Pharisees. Well, when they called themselves Pharisees, that means they were separated. They wanted to separate themselves from the people because they were having trouble. And the people knew and were saying, it's not right for you to be doing this. And they were saying this to the rabbis, the kings, the priests, and so forth. And Yahweh said, in the priests and prophets of Jerusalem, yes, even in my own house, remember? I have found all these things going on. Well, all these people that knew about Yahweh's laws and been taught them by Ezra and Nehemiah, they taught others. So there was quite a gang of people here that wouldn't convert to their nonsense. Galilee is one of those places. And they said that the Galilee was like Okies. They wouldn't keep up to date on the changes of the language. And I know you've heard the great David Yehuda bring out about the vowel points that they added to the original Hebrew so they could make this Hebrew word say something that it didn't mean. And they did this for a purpose. Well, the Galileans would not follow the rule, so they said, you're not keeping up on grammar. They're a bunch of dumb idiots, they said. And they said of the apostles, if you remember, they are unlearned and ignorant men. And they knew that they had been with Yahshua. Well, of course, their dialect, it always gave them away. Because, you know, like they pronounced the word the way it was spelled instead of a solid E or a solid A or so forth, you know, like maybe often. should be pronounced often. Well, see, they didn't keep up on this grammar. They was off to themselves. You know what they were studying? They were studying the laws and the prophecies of Yahweh. And they knew it perfectly. And so when one of them got nearer the temple, which they did three times a year, they went there to keep the feast, and they'd say, you're not supposed to be doing that. And it might have come from a six-year-old child, but they got corrected. Well, the Pharisees, that's what Pharisees means. It means separatist. They separated themselves from the people where they could molest and do whatever they wanted to. You know, here recently, the CPS was sent into the Orthodox rabbis in Jerusalem. Well, this has stirred up quite a hornet's nest. But the chief rabbi now, who has millions of followers all over the world, he came out with a letter and accusations against the Catholic Church for doing this to them and saying, yes, we know we got problems among our people, but you got more problems than we do in molesting people and molesting children. And then he went to naming it and showing the percentage rate of the priests who molest children on the seven hills of Rome are from that religious system. I don't know where this war is going to end, but these are the ways of the kings of the East that is taking place here. And of course, it's one accusing the other and the other jumping back at him and jumping down his throat now. But this is all taking place right now in this society. And it's kind of getting out of hand, because this is how crusades started too, if you remember. And the Catholic Church is upset, the rabbis are upset, and it could turn out to be another crusade or another world war, or even nuclear war could arise out of this situation. If you remember, in Revelation 17, Rome is going to be burned, and the kings are going to eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled in this time period right here. The kings of the East, this is the ways of the kings of the East that is going to be fulfilled because the water is drying up. Well, that means a lot more things than just Euphrates, but we'll get into that later. But get this in your mind here. The persecution and the tribulations which you are enduring. So he was praising these people for this. This was the great apostle Shaul that was praising these people at Thessalonica. And in 2 Timothy, we see somewhat similar to this, where he's encouraging 2 Timothy 4, where he's encouraging the apostle here, and he's encouraging you now. He's speaking to you too and me. And that's the reason I keep saying, hurry and work. Right now, we got more work to do. You know, I kept naming work that we had to do this week. And well, which one do you want us to do first? I said, first? All of it's first. Let's just get it all done. But this is the push that we got going right now because of the fact that we got a bunch of changes that's fixing to take place. And of course, the world is going to be coming in, and we can see this in prophecy. So we've got certain things to do that we've got to do to get ready. And that's what you've been trained for all along, is what is coming this year. Well, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, he says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Yes, you're going to suffer afflictions, but just endure them, but do the work. Notice, get the work done. That's what you were called for. Of a priest, of Yahweh, of Yahshua, of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh, fulfill your ministry. Do your work. Get busy. Hurry. and fulfill this job that's set before you. Well, his advice wasn't just given to them. These things were written for us, remember? Let's go back to Matithia now. So keep that in mind in the work. Don't stop the work. Don't go off talking and let your work go. Forget about the persecution. Get your mind on your work and let the other person take care of that problem he's having with the persecution. and let Yahweh take care of it. Praise Yahweh. We can't do anything about it anyway. Yahweh fights our battles. I told you to begin with how this thing was going to turn out. If you'd just listened, I told you how it was going to turn out. And I'm telling you again how it's going to turn out and what you need to do. Keep your mind on the work and supporting the work. In Matthew 10. Now, here again, Yeshua is speaking. You've got to remember all of this because we're going into Revelations here in just a little bit, and the work in this time period for 97 at the Great Shaul. Great Shaul just brought us. Go on, Shaul. Just brought out about the things that's already been done. They were prophesied to start at that time. But that was only the starting. The build-up has taken several years. One of the members called me, I believe it was Thursday, and said, "Do you know we've been together 36 years? And I said, "What? 36 years? Yeah, 36 years. She was the first person I baptized. Very first. 36 years ago. And still working hard as ever in the work of Yahweh. Well, of course, it takes time, and the work that brought that person, you know, there was many years of work that brought that person to the house, or I would not have been able to have taught back then if there hadn't have been work prepared before that time, see? So the work of 1997 that started there, it was being prepared by Yeshua long before that, and of course the doors were being prepared to be opened and certain people being called, you know, into the work or set up to be called into the work to open doors for us. Well, and you'll see this more and more now very, very shortly. But in Matthew 10 and verse 22 here, he says, Yeshua says, "And you will be hated above all men for my name's sake. Yes, if you stand up for the laws of Yahweh to everyone, including the ones that want to criticize and run down the elders, you will be hated. You will be hated, but he who endures to the end will be saved." That is, of course, the end of your life or to the end where you're going to be changed. One of the two. That's what the word means. Now let's go back to Genesis again, because overcoming, it was set for you to do, and the little things you're hanging on to now, Yahweh tells you to let go of them and go ahead and get this work done. Get involved in the work. Get involved in being a slave. Make the Sabbath glorious. Make it glorious to Yahweh. This is what you need to do on the Sabbath. Praise Yahweh. Make the Sabbath glorious to Yahweh by becoming a slave. But here we see now in Genesis 3, and notice what Yahweh says he is going to do in order to bring about making you into his image and after your likeness. He is going to, here, put enmity between you. Now, of course, he's speaking to the serpent here, the serpent who deceived Eve. And he says, "I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. Well, of course, the woman. I think the preachers probably think this is talking about Eve, but it wasn't talking about Eve. It's talking about a woman that brings forth a man. And it was all in the plan of Yahweh here, to make Yahweh in his image. Well, now we're in that time period. No one believes it, but we're in that time period where we have Yeshua as a high priest over the house of Yahweh. This is the Passover lamb that was pictured, that pictured Yahshua. And then, of course, he came. No one believed he was the one, but they went ahead and hung him on the stake, just like the prophecy said he would be. He stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights, just like the prophecy said he would be. Still, they wouldn't believe him. Isn't it strange how they won't believe these prophecies when they're fulfilled right in front of their eyes? And now he sits as high priest over the same woman, but in a different time area. Same, it's house of Yahweh, woman. That's how she's pictured, as a woman who teaches. You know, the woman is given the responsibility of teaching the children. Well, that's the reason it's named a woman. And between your seed, that is the seed of Satan, of course, Satan's seed, Satan's followers, which Yahweh said would be the majority of the world today. So the house of Yahweh is naturally going to have hatred here. Yahshua wasn't telling his disciples anything new. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Well, Genesis told him that in the beginning here. In just the third chapter, Yahweh was telling Yahshua, they're going to hate you. And Isaiah said the same thing. They're going to hate you. Yahshua, they're going to hate you. They're going to kill you. Even though you're sinless, they're going to kill you. But Satan's seed, I'm going to put this enmity between Satan's seed and the woman's seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Translated properly, the same thing he said to Dan when he said, you're going to be overcome. But at last, you will overcome at last. Through, of course, Yahshua, this last work that he is doing that's here right now under the donkey that he is tied to his disciples. Well, now, we're in Genesis here, Genesis 3 and verse 15. Let's go over to Romans because this is explained. It's the house of Yahweh bringing forth Yahshua. This is the woman it's speaking of here. And if you'll go over to Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity. So he put within every man a carnal mind. Well, a carnal mind, what does a carnal mind do? It eats and sleeps and rises up to play. Now, that's the way it was described by Moshe when he brought all of these carnal people out of Egypt. They were taught, yes, they were taught the laws of Yahweh before they ever came out, but they weren't organized in any means, and there was only a few. There wasn't everybody that would go to services on Sabbath with Moshe, but some did. And of course, the leaders that he, if you remember, before the Exodus took place, Moshe took these people off work. And this got Pharaoh kind of upset because they weren't working on the Sabbath day. But Moshe had them out there teaching them what they were going to be doing. They were going to be leaving there because of the prophecy that Yahweh was going to take them back to the land promised Abraham after they had experienced what they experienced in Egypt. All of that was prophesied. And then Moshe was fulfilling that prophecy. Well, who made you a ruler and a leader over us? They didn't believe him either. But this very one that they rejected, Moshe, as the apostle said, this very one you rejected is the one that Yahweh chose. And now you've rejected Yahshua also, and you hung him on the stake, he said. And now they're wanting to destroy the house of Yahweh and hang it on a stake. But Yahweh has different prophecies for the house of Yahweh. Yes, he said, we'll suffer reproaches, but it's not going to be destroyed, as Yahshua said in the third chapter of Revelation. Well, here now in Romans 8 and verse 7, He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, it's not subject to the laws of Yahweh. Not subject to the laws? Why are you hanging on to your anger? The law says, let it go. You're breaking a law. Why are you hanging on to your bitterness? Why, as he said this to Cain, why are you hanging on to this selfishness that you got building up in your mind? Why the hatred here? Yes, you're getting sick because you're breaking the laws. You're making yourself sick inside because you're breaking my law through your bitterness and hatred. It'll kill you. It causes ulcers. It actually causes your stomach to go into cramps and open up to parasites. This bitterness and hatred that you got for the elders. Forget it. Put it behind you. Repent to Yahweh and get yourself back into work. That's what he tells you to do. He says, it's not subject to the law. Well, of course, the laws is what guides us to perfection. And this is taught from one end of Scripture to the other. But look at verse 8 now. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please Yahweh. So how do we get around this then? What brings us around it? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Well, what is the Spirit? Turn over and please believe to Yochanan 6, because the Savior tells you what it is. And if you don't believe the Savior, you won't be part of his group in the kingdom. Yochanan 6 and verse 63. This is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit. They are the spirit that gives you life. And they are life everlasting. This is the spirit that turns this carnal mind, that changes the carnal mind into a servitude mind, that makes you or shows you what you should be. And it changes the heart and the mind, as is being brought out on television daily now, and has been started back in the 90s, of course. I believe that was 97 when the first peaceful solution character education was established. I mean, the organization. But before that now, it started back when I wrote the first law as an example. Remember that? I sent it to all the elders. Well, that was back in the 90s, before 97. I wrote the law, do not steal, as an example. And I said, this is the way we've got to write these lessons. So I sent it out to all of the elders. And some of the elders quit after that. left the house. They had no endurance. They had no backbone, no root in themselves. So they left the house of Yahweh. But I remember some of the work and the persecution and the accusations that was taking place. And they said, well, it's no use in me writing these. It's going to be changed anyway. Well, of course, if you'd see my work after the secretaries get through editing it and trying to take out the oaky words and all of this, you know, I don't get angry about it. I bless them for it. But they got angry about it. Some of them got angry and said, well, they're no use me writing. We'd call and say, when are you going to get this lesson? We need this lesson pronto. There's no use in me doing it. Let them do it. Those that's changing it, let them do it. Well, this was the attitude, a bitter attitude of wormwood, of hatred, that we're not supposed to let rise up. So I'd call them and I'd encourage them and I'd say, man, they changed my work too. You know, they take out the improper grammar that I put there. They dot all the T's and cross all the I's for me. Did you get that? Okay. Wake up now. But I don't care, you know, just so I can get this message out to you. But get this, and you better understand this, and you better believe Yahshua. Otherwise, you won't understand the laws of Yahweh at all or what they're for. But the laws of Yahweh is His Spirit. It's His strength. The prophecies of Yahweh and the laws of Yahweh is His strength that changes the hearts and the mind. And nobody else has anything to do with this except Yahweh. His laws stand strong. Nobody can change them forever. Forever. His prophecies are sure. Every one of them is going to come to pass, even the part that talks about the burning of the unbeliever or those who rebel, the rebellion. Rebellion is as witchcraft. It won't be in the kingdom. The ones that's carrying it, rebellion, won't be in the kingdom. Brethren, you have the greatest opportunity ever right now if you just yield to it. The greatest opportunity to yield yourselves to Yahweh and study and take these laws. Go back to Romans 8 and verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. So how do you please Yahweh? You get these laws. You practice these laws. You go to the place He chooses to place His name. There you learn the laws. Deuteronomy 12. Go to the place where I choose to place my name. You see the name Yahweh on any of these churches in town? No, they know His name is Yahweh. They admit it, but they shun it. They won't use it. No, if they repented, brethren, they would have, if they repented and converted, they'd have to come to the house of Yahweh and they'd have to give up what they got there, which is their lust for sin. They'd have to give it up and get rid of it. Well, this is the Spirit. This is the way to please Yahweh. This is what pleases Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the laws of Yahweh dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have this Spirit of the laws of Yahweh, which says, be a slave to your brother on the Sabbath day, serve at my house, make the Sabbath a delight for all people. Make it a delight by helping others. As the Messiah, as the Messiah did, every Sabbath He was a blessing to His people. He worked being a blessing to His people. He is not of His. If you don't have it like the Messiah had it, like He set our example, then you don't have it. Verse 10. And if Messiah is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. I know that's not understood because the Christianity, they say, I sin, so my body is dead, but my inner body, it goes on living, you know, even though it's sinning, it's going on living. But that's not the way it is. If you look even at a diaglot, here's the diaglot reading. If but as anointed, that's Yahshua, in you, is you. If Yahshua is you, the indeed body dead with respect to sin, it's dead with respect to sin. That is, it won't sin anymore, is what He's saying. If Yahshua is in you or alive in you, if you're practicing the laws as Yahshua practiced the laws, then your body is dead in respect to those sins because it's not active to sin. But the but Spirit, which is Yahweh's laws, life with respect to righteousness, if but the Spirit of Him having raised up Yahshua from out of the dead ones, dwells in you, He having raised up, which is Yahweh, raised up the anointed out of the dead ones, will make alive also the mortal bodies of you. mortal. If you notice, they're not immortal, they're mortal. Through the indwelling of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? What is the Spirit? Remember here now. That's right. Let me go back here. I want to read it to you again. The Spirit. This is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. It's mortal. The laws that I speak to you, they are the Spirit, and they are life everlasting. So he, praise Yahweh. Spirit in you. He raises us up. Yes, it's dead, and Yahweh will raise you up. You're mortal, but he will raise you up if you keep the laws, keep his Spirit. This is a Spirit. Now, the earth didn't have this before the house of Yahweh was created in these last days. They didn't have salvation as the great Kohan Shaul was bringing earlier here up until this time period. Yahweh called, put the house of Yahweh here for that reason. Let me see what I can skip here. Let's go to Galatians. Bad as I hate to, we're going to have to cut it off. Galatians 3. Now keep in mind what we just read back there and what the Spirit is. The Spirit is the laws of Yahweh. That the laws and the prophecies. First, Yahweh prophesied what would take place. And then he let it be proven that it would take place. And then the house of Yahweh in these last days now, after the name was gone, the house of Yahweh gone, destroyed, all the pupils of Yahshua killed off, sent to, they mostly killed all of them. All the apostles were killed. The only one that we don't have a record of his death is Yochanan, and he was put as a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos, of course. Under the Roman supervision, and of course kept there, I guess, until he died. There's no record of him coming out of there. But that's where the book of Revelations was actually given unto him, and Yahweh preserved that work and brought it down to us today. That's quite a miracle. Well, in Galatians 3 now, in verse 29, let's go to 29 first, he says, and if you are as the Messiah, Yahshua said, it's not necessary that you be better than your teacher, but if you will be as your teacher, that is sufficient. He said, and if you are as the Messiah, then you are a seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. The promise, remember, is back here in Genesis. In Genesis, the first book in the beginning of Yahweh's plan. This is a beginning of Yahweh's plan. Now look back to verse 26. For you all are sons of Yahweh through the faith. Through the faith that was given, of course, by Moshe, and before that, from Abel, as Yahshua Messiah. You're the same. You are all the sons of Yahweh through the faith as Yahshua Messiah was. Through this plan of Yahweh, every one of you sitting here, well, if you remember what we brought, Satan, there's enmity between the two seeds, between Satan's seed and Yahweh's seed. Now, next week, Yahweh willing, we will get into this seed now in the book of Revelations and show the salvation that Yahweh has brought. And he shows it so clearly, brother, and you're going to marvel. I'm sorry I couldn't bring it today. But you're going to marvel when you see how this compares with the plan and how Yahweh actually brought it down through the centuries to us, guiding everything through this one family that he said he would, the family, the seed of Abraham, this lineage of Abraham, and then, of course, having it open for those who weren't of his lineage when they wanted to come. And has got it, the biggest part is open to them here in this last generation where an untold number of them is going to come into the house of Yahweh. We're going to start seeing this very shortly. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.